Welcome back to another episode of Just Hoop Talk with Justin Henry, Will Thompson, and today we're covering the second week of NBA action. We had some storylines change, man, and so it'll be a good topic of conversation. We're going to talk a lot about the Warriors. We're going to talk about some of these standout teams in the East that are surprising, and one major news topic that's not getting enough love. Stay tuned.
You are now tuned in. To the next best thing. Justin Henry. Will Thompson.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Y'all can talk that talk, but this is just hoop talk. Updates on the news. Analysis, who's who. Who gon' win, who gon' lose? Is it true? Is it true? This is just hoop talk. This is just hoop talk.
All right, guys, so we're going to cover week two of the NBA action that we've had. And, Will, man, it was an exciting week. We've seen storylines change. This Eastern Conference is getting tough, man. You see the Philadelphia Sixers, 76ers at the top. You see the Indiana Pacers at the top. You see the Orlando Magic at the top.
Yeah.
Will, what are your thoughts on this Eastern Conference and the way that these teams are kind of loaded up here?
Yeah, it's obviously it's still early, but there's definitely been some surprises.
Yeah.
Projecting things out. You look at a 72 game season to already be at five wins at whatever the percentage is. That's a good look for a team like the Orlando Magic. I don't necessarily know that they'll be in the top three in the East at the end of the year, but it's good for them to get out to a good start, get some confidence. They still have a young team. I'm surprised, honestly. Personally, I thought missing DJ Augustin was going to hurt them. But I think one of the biggest differences with them so far has been really giving Markelle Fultz a bigger role and expanding on him, giving him more confidence and allowing him to really be himself. He looks like a player now, man. For a while, we thought he was done. We thought it was over. He was the biggest bust of all time. And now he looks like a legit NBA player, looks like a guy who can contribute at a high level. So that's really great to see. And good things are on the horizon for the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, you heard J. Cole talk about it, man. Give him some time, man. We needed some time from Markelle Fultz. And you see the way, I mean, he started even last year towards the end of season.
In the bubble, too.
The bubble. He turned it up a notch, man. And it's really good to see him playing at a high level. But this team is actually organized a lot better than people give it credit for. You got Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon there. And Nikolai Vucevic is playing at a really high level as well. So you got to commend the Orlando Magic. I'm not sure, like you said, we'll see him at the top three. But this team, they're a playoff team for sure. I think we might have to look back at our early season.
I know,
shift some things around.
Yeah.
But I like them. I also like the moves, man, from this Philadelphia 76ers team.
Yes.
It's looking like this coaching change has made a huge impact. I know it's still early on in the season. But, Will, what are your thoughts on this Philadelphia 76ers team? Because I'm getting the feeling, man, that this is a really deep team, that this team is also – The players are stepping up that need to step up. You're getting that role that we talked about. You know, you're getting those role players that really stepped up. Danny Green, Dwight Howard are bringing that veteran leadership. So now you see guys like Tobias Harris playing at an all-star, all-NBA level. Embiid and Simmons look like they're finally clicking. And Doc has the ship heading in the right direction, man.
Yeah, it looks like Doc was able to push the right buttons, whatever those buttons were. It probably was just a mental thing. And we know that's what Doc can do well. He can bring guys together and get them on the same page, get them working together, get them working well and towards a common goal. I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed so far is we haven't heard a lot of noise from this team. There hasn't been a lot of distractions.
There
hasn't been a lot of talk. They're quietly kind of going about their business and doing what they're supposed to do. And I think that's huge for them, man. Like, limit the distractions, limit the noise, stay healthy. Get out there and ball out. And if they can do that, you just look at the roster and you're like, damn, this team is good, man. They are deep. And now with the added shooting, they look like a problem for sure.
They do, man. It's one of those things where you get a team that has the talent, and then you bring the right coaching in there, and it makes a huge difference. I'm not saying Brett Brown wasn't a good coach, but having Doc Rivers at the helm really changes things for this team. And I think you get the most out of players like Embiid, like Simmons, when they're just kind of fighting for their own position in the basketball world. It's like, okay, don't worry about that. Eliminate the noise, whose team it is or who we're going to play. Right. And just play ball, man. Just play ball. And you see the best product being put out by these guys. And this is a team I do think we can see in the top two, top three.
Definitely.
Philadelphia 76ers team, especially when it's led by a coach who has the experience, obviously, Doc Rivers. I think it remains to be seen what we're really going to see out of them. But top two, top three, it's within the realm, man. But moving over to the West. The Western Conference, obviously, we're talking about stacked teams. We're looking at two other teams at the top of the division, at the top of the conference, and that's the Los Angeles Clippers and Phoenix Suns, man. So we talked a little bit about the Clippers and finding if they're going to be playing through the noise, all the distractions out where they were last year, and they have. They've obviously turned it around. And the Phoenix Suns is a team that we talked about having, kind of that rise and being in the playoff picture. What are your thoughts on these two teams?
Yeah, I love the matchup the other day. You look at kind of the characters involved with both of these teams. Chris Paul's past with the Clippers, Paul George and Devin Booker seem to have something between them.
Well, when you just get a shot different hitting your grill for everybody,
people
are gonna remember that.
Yeah, and then just the different personalities. I think that's a little bit of a budding rivalry that hopefully we can see some more of going down the road. But these two teams, and especially I got to give props to Chris Paul, man. Like, he really came in and changed the demeanor. And to be fair, like, you saw some change in the Phoenix Suns in the bubble, the way they carried themselves, the way they conducted themselves. But you can see Chris Paul's fingerprints all over this team now, and kind of the way that they run their offense, the way that they play with confidence. They have a different swagger. It's really exciting to see. And I got to give major, major props to Chris Paul, man, because he is a difference maker for sure.
He is, and he's one of those players that he just brings a certain level of wisdom, a certain level of poise on the court, and everybody kind of plays to that. I don't think we're going to see as high a level from Devin Booker where he's having to take 25 shots a game and be a 25-point scorer, but that's not necessary. I think it's actually a better thing when Devin's able to pick his spots, be more aggressive late in games, and just be a killer when he needs to be. But you also see players like Mikal Bridges really showing up, and those young guys that they have are starting to play at a higher level. Cam Johnson's playing at a pretty high level this year too. Yeah. So when you start to talk about that leadership, it goes so much more deeper than just on the court, but it's the level of play that everybody has in the maturation process. And then you look to the other team, the Los Angeles Clippers, and what I've quietly noticed is that this team doesn't have the distractions that they have because I think they're allowing their superstars to be superstars. When you have this Clipper team that was in the playoffs the year before Paul George and Kawhi got there, it was like, all right, we're all big dogs. We're going to make the championship because of us. We didn't really need you, but now that you're here, we're going to try to find who's the alpha dog, and Montrezl Harrell and Pat Bev and Lou Wills. Like, this was their team. And then Kawhi and Paul George came. Paul George is having some issues in the bubble. And it's like, you've seen, I don't know if it's a Ty Lue thing, if it's an organizational thing, but they're like, all right, Kawhi and Paul George are our guys. Everybody else, play a role. Just play your role. You don't hear any noise from Pat Bev this year. You don't hear a whole lot really from Lou Will, even like in his play. He's not like putting up 20 points a game like he used to. It's like everything's kind of calmed down there in La La Land.
Yeah, I definitely think they did some things to make their guys happy. They gave Paul George the money that he wanted, and they adjusted the offense. Now they're running the triangle offense to kind of cater to Kawhi. So they did what they had to do to make their guys happy. Those guys are comfortable. They look good. They look like they're playing at a different level. Obviously, they had the one just crazy, wild game, the kind of the anomaly where they looked absolutely terrible. But outside of that, they've looked really good, man. And it'll be interesting to see, like, the thing with this team is, can they do it consistently, continuously? And that's always been the question. But when they look good, they look like a problem, man. They look like a really, really good team. It's just really, can they do it consistently? Can Kawhi stay healthy? And who is Paul George, bro? Like, who is Paul George? Is he an all-star, or is he just a every other night kind of guy? You know what I mean?
And to his credit,
that still remains to be seen.
He looks like a different player this year. He looks like the old Paul George that we're used to. So I'm not sure everyone was just like trying to find your place. Who's who? What's my role? But he looks comfortable on the court, and I think he knows that he's the number two guy there, probably more of a 1B there than people give him credit for. But he is that guy that they need him to be. And the team needs him to be that this year. So I think he's taking it with open arms. He knows Kawhi is going to have some rest days. So he's probably like, hey, I need to step up this year. And I think what we're seeing is that 30-point Paul George at times where he's hitting it at a high clip. He's not shooting 40% from the field this year. He's hitting it at a high clip and taking the shots that we need him to hit to see. You know, and you start to think of other players there in the West, too, that have kind of been thrown aside in the media. And we got to go talk about this Golden State Warriors team, and
early
on, they were getting, you know, 0-2. It was like, it's over for them. They're done.
Yeah.
It's over. And then we saw a different team come out, man. And this Warriors team played the Blazers the other day, and that was a fun matchup to watch. Curry and Dame going at it a couple games back to back, and we saw the noise once Curry decided it was my time.
Yep. Yeah, I think for the first time we're really seeing Steph. I mean, I think there was a little bit of early in his career after the injuries, after the ankle injuries, and everybody was saying like, oh, this dude is a bust. He's never going to be anything. He had a chip on his shoulder, and it kind of – I think the chip kind of smoothed off a little bit, but I think the chip is back, man. And I think it had a lot to do with just kind of the way people were talking about him and the way people were talking about the Warriors. And it myself also, admittedly, I have to say, like, I said there was no chance they're making the playoffs this year. But they look like they're about to prove me wrong for sure. But, yeah, I think he clearly looks like he has something to prove. I think he heard all the talk that he couldn't carry a team. Him by himself wasn't enough to even get them in the playoffs. And he's like, hold on, bro.
Yep.
Y'all know I'm an MVP, right? Like, multiple-time MVP. And he's coming out and he's playing legitimately like an MVP right now. He just scored 30 tonight against the Kings, followed up a 62-point game with a 30-point game. And he barely played in the fourth quarter. So obviously, I think Draymond helps a lot. I think that there's a huge difference in that team when Draymond is there, not just defensively, but I feel like he facilitates. He does so much for them offensively, even without having the ball. He's making sure people are in their place, helping things get set, helping open things up for Steph. So I think that's a huge piece for them that they like having back.
I'm going to say it. Everybody who said the Warriors down 0-2 were done. Front runners. I don't want to hear it no more, man.
Yeah.
Didn't give the team a chance to gel, man. All new pieces. Wiggins was new. He'd only played like two games with Steph. Kelly Oubre was new. Draymond Green was out the picture. James Wiseman was new. It's like you're putting a whole new team on the floor, putting them up against the Bucks. And putting them up against the Nets, like two of the top teams in the league.
True.
You expect them to just be all right? Like, no. Steph, first time on the court, really, he had two games when he came back from his injury. Steph's first time back on the court in an extended period of time. Like, you got to give this team time to gel. And Draymond was out. All-star, Hall of Famer, whatever you want to call him, Olympian, that player is out. And so when you have, you know, all these chemistry issues, you have nobody on the court that you're comfortable with. You have nobody that you can rely on. And one of your major, you're probably your second best talent piece is off the court. I mean, you're going to go 0-2 against two of the top teams in the league. So I think the panic was a little early onset.
It was.
I'm sure if this team is, you know, obviously I think they're going to be probably in the 5-8 range as far as playoff teams. Yeah. But is it panic time? Absolutely not. Steph Curry showed us who he is. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this season, a lot more 40, 50-point barrages that we saw back in 2015, his MVP season. We'll be seeing a lot more of that here. So Steph Curry, I think, does have a chip on his shoulder, and it took a little bit of chirping for everybody it kind of came back to bite everybody in the tail, man.
Right.
The way that he performed the other day. I got to think we'll see some more explosions, some more. I think a 15-point, three-point record is going to be broken too, man.
Woo! Yeah, I think for sure we really don't have to question Steph anymore. He's going to be there. He's going to do his thing. Now can the teammates – play consistently? Can they play well consistently? Kelly Oubre played well tonight. Wiggins has looked good. Can those guys be consistent? If they're able to be consistent, this team is going to be in contention for a playoff spot without a doubt, man.
Those are good players. Like,
yeah, they are.
Andrew Wiggins. That's great talent to have. And Wiseman's the number two pick overall. I don't see why this team will not be playing better. Let us know your guys' thoughts in the comments. Are the Warriors back, or are they just a fluke? Is Steph just hot right now? One more topic before we go. Really want to talk about this topic because I think it's not getting as much attention as it deserves, and it may not until it officially happens on a permanent basis. But watching Becky Hammon come into the game for the San Antonio Spurs, the first women's head coach to play or to actually be in an NBA game, I thought that was an amazing moment, man. I think people talked about it, but I don't think the impact of that was truly realized. Will, what are your thoughts on Becky Hammon actually just coaching an NBA game for an extended period of time? I mean, that's history right there.
Yeah, that's a huge moment. People try to downplay that type of stuff. Like, it's whatever. No, that's a big deal, man. It's a big deal for a huge part of the population, you know? Obviously, us as men, maybe we try to downplay it. Like, that's whatever. No, like, there's a huge part of the population that sees someone that looks like them being a part of the game at the highest level. Like, that means a lot to women. And really, I think it's good for the game, honestly. Like, if you have a basketball mind and you can bring something to the table and contribute to the game and improve the game and make the game better, then you should be a part of the game at the highest level, regardless of whether you're male or female. So big step for the NBA, big step for women's basketball, and many props to her for sure.
100% agree, man. I think if you understand the game, X's and O's, you can coach.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's a lot of talk about her. You see a lot of the players coming out in support of her and her mind.
Yep.
100% respect to Becky Hammon, man. First women's coach that we've seen on the NBA floor. Let us know your guys' thoughts in the comments on this week two, the Eastern Conference, Western Conference, whatever you guys want to talk, debate us in the comments. Just Hoop Talk. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. Another edition of the books. We're out.
Peace.